Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And we'll have our flashback by request this hour. We also have an R.C. Collins Sopranos update. Sorry we didn't get to it last night, but we will have the Sopranos update tonight. We've got just a couple of pieces of business to do concerning our website. One of them is to remind you that the website is up and running and will remain up and running after we broadcast our last show, June 23rd. After tonight, 22 shows remain. 22 shows, 22 Phil Hendry shows remain. And then there ain't no more, baby. But I will tell you this, that our website will remain alive with all of the material on it and you know, and all of the shows on it, and all of just the archive of stuff that we've got. And we're going to begin to evolve the website to include other projects that I get involved in. I can tell you, I can be the first to tell you now, that I received a call this afternoon from a casting company that wants me to be in a horror movie. So isn't that just great? They wanted me to play a Howard Stern type of guy. I politely said, no, thank you. And they said, who do you think you are? And I said, I are Phil Hendry. I don't know what, maybe. I told them who my agent was. They called the agent, and I think they're still trying to reach him. He was in the shower. In any event, so whatever we do, wherever we go, and however we do it, you can stay abreast of all the latest news in Philland by simply logging on to www.philhendryshow.com. Also, you can check out something. This, we have nothing to do with this. We just think it's kind of cute. It's called Hendrypedia. www.hendrypedia.com. It takes you to a page that looks suspiciously like Wikipedia, except it's all stuff having to do with me. And I happen to be on the Lloyd Bonafide page right now, where they talk about Lloyd. Lloyd Bonafide's wife was taking a painting and sculpture class that had a 55 to 60-year-old nude male model. Lloyd objected because he was abnormally endowed, the size of a water buffalo. His wife did sketches and a clay sculpture of him. When Lloyd found out about the sculpture, he blacked out, drove down to the sculpture classroom, and woke up holding the snapped-off hangy thing in his right hand. The clay sculpture was 12 inches high, and the member was 7.5 inches long. Lloyd figured this guy's member then must be 4 feet long. Phil thinks the wife just made a mistake. Lloyd thinks his wife isn't satisfied with a pipe he can lay and wants someone who can bring some heavier lumber to the construction site. Ha ha! Road rage incidents. Threw a flaming newspaper at a driver that cut him off. Threw a cat at a driver that cut him off. The driver pulled over, gave Lloyd the cat back and shook his hand. Sent a woman driving an SUV into a river because she was tailgating him. And other notable bits, including breaking off of hold. And, of course, his famous, I got a rock. That's Wikipedia. Our number here on the Phil Hendry Show is 1-800-449-8686. I don't think we're being preempted tonight by Laker, Clipper, any other kind of basketball, hockey, curling, nothing, baby. I think we're actually on tonight in the Los Angeles market, which is good news. And I just got this information just moments ago off the internet because I wanted to find out more about this. It's the island of Semalulu. And anyway, this is an island off of India that when the tsunami hit, only 7 people died out of a population of 75,000 because they remembered the stories that their great-grandfathers had told them about how to get away from a tsunami. And the people there survived because they remembered all these stories that their great-grandfathers told them. The island's oral history saved countless lives, but noted its lush hills are close to the coast, allowing people to get to safety. In many other places with broader coastal plains, people had few places to run. Anyway, it was kind of, what's the matter with you, bud?
Yeah, I was a Chinaman.
What?
Just nothing to China, Chinese.
What about the Chinaman?
Yeah, he cut me off on my bike. Chinaman.
A Chinaman cut you off on your bike?
Yeah, it's coming out at this slant eye.
Boy, you are a real racist, man. You know that? Him being Chinese got nothing to do with getting cut off on a bike.
I know. It's just a cling, clang, chang, clang.
So you ain't listening to nothing I'm saying here, huh?
Nah, it's boring.
All right, then take it, man, and don't...
You're really upset.
Yeah, I'm upset. Bugging me with your Chinaman cut you off on your motorcycle. And if you get that gong sound effect out, I don't even want to hear it. You understand?
I'm going to do it as a tiny...
All right, we also have some email that we're going to be reading for you guys. And just some other pieces of information that that you might want to know. One, of course, is that our celebrity poker tournament is on the 27th, this Saturday. I understand we got 250 entrants at $200 a piece. And I think it's going to be one of the...
Why did you do it, man? Right after I said don't do it.
I want to give you an example of a horn.
What horn?
The one the guy had.
What guy? The guy, the Chinaman that cut you off?
Yes. How am I supposed to know? So I'm turning on my motorcycle, and next thing I hear is... Oh, that's nice. Must be an episode of Kung Fu, and I keep going. The guy hit me.
You try to tell me that this guy had a gong for a horn?
Yeah.
I think you're nuts. I think you're high. I think that methamphetamine that you've been snorting off a hunting knife is finally getting to you.
I swear it.
Hey, you, man, you could swear it up and down. There ain't no way that... Are you crazy or something? You're turning in and you hear...
Right.
And that's supposed to be a horn on what? How do you know it was coming from the car?
Because it was a Toyota.
Hey, well, guess what, man? A Toyota's Japanese. It ain't Chinese. Whoa! I guess you don't know the difference between Japanese and Chinese.
Yeah, I do. About 2 feet. What?
Not even funny, man. Not even close to funny. Stale, like really desperate. Yeah, I do. About 2 feet. If I were going to say what's the difference between a Japanese and a Chinese guy, I'd say about 100 visits to the dentist.
What does that mean? Doesn't mean anything. Japanese got overbite.
They may have overbite, but it's straight. Their teeth aren't brown and crooked like Chinese cats.
Bull crap. Japanese guy, teeth, you could eat corn on a cob through a chain link fence at arm's length.
Chain link fence? Queer.
Fag.
Bum. Get out of here. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Excuse me. Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right. Now what?
I'm just talking about... Just do the show.
Just do the show and knock it off with the Lubriderm and the Vaseline, okay?
You ruin everything. I had a whole bunch of jokes writ.
Oh, did you have a whole bunch of jokes writ? Do the report and quit being a douche. You guys really worked that bit up pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it's perfect. It was so great.
Oh, Jesus. All right, so yeah, last night, Sopranos, boy, when they, poor Vito, but they got a little bit of revenge there when that fat slob walked into the Bada Bing. What's that big guy? He works for Phil? And he started giving Carlo a lot of crap, the guy that was cooking the spaghetti sauce. By the way, that actor is a former New York City police officer. I forget his name, but he was in Copland, who plays Carlo. And so anyway, Carlo's cooking the spaghetti sauce, and...
What are you going to go over it again? We already just told people.
Yeah, but I'm going to do it without the... if you don't mind. So anyway, this guy comes in, and just like he's asking for it, like he's begging for it, starts saying all these nasty things about Vito. Silvio and Carlo can't take it any longer. Silvio busts an ashtray over this guy's head, and Carlo turns around with a knife that he'd been chopping up tomatoes and garlic with and just, like, sinks it into this guy's big, fat belly. All right, now it's time for our flashback. Just thought I'd kind of get you in the mood there. And this is a flashback that, believe it or not, did you give that to me, Mark? I'm sorry, man. Guess what I did? I probably lost it. Oh, here it is. This is a flashback that actually features Dickman, of all people. And it's from Matthew. He says, Phil, could you please play the clip where you said you ordered a pizza, but instead Bud says someone's at the door with Chinese food? And then Bud goes on to say that the guy delivering the Chinese food is Bruce Lee. And when I insist Bruce Lee's dead, Bud insists, no, it's Bruce Lee at the door with the Chinese food delivery. This is a very funny clip. Thanks, Matthew. Here it is, Bud and Bruce Lee. Do you have that pizza? Pardon me, folks, but I ordered some. It's not pizza. What is it?
Chinese food.
Okay. What is this? Did you get the stuff?
Yeah, I got the Sichuan chicken. And here's some napkins.
Look, I got to do the show. Just put it all out over here.
Yeah. Bruce Lee, can I tell you something?
What?
I'm pretty sure it's Bruce Lee. I'm pretty sure.
You're pretty sure it was Bruce Lee that delivered it?
Yeah.
Bruce Lee's dead.
No, well, believe me.
Bruce Lee's dead, bud.
Okay, fine.
Why do you think it was Bruce Lee delivering it?
Because it looked exactly like Bruce Lee. And I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to scare you.
It's not scaring me, man. Bruce Lee's croaked. He's gone.
That's what they say, but you've also read on websites he might be alive.
Yeah, okay. Bruce Lee's alive delivering Chinese food at 9:30 at night.
Okay, but it looked just like him.
What did he look like?
All right. He had slanted eyes, and he bowed to me like five times, and he had a bowl haircut.
Well, yeah, that sounds like Bruce Lee to me. Are you an idiot or something?
Well, what do you mean?
He had slanted eyes and a bowl haircut and bowed to me five times. It's got to be Bruce Lee. That sounds like every freaking Chinaman from here to China.
Well, you racist.
Well, I didn't mean to say that. What I meant was...
No, you said it. You're a racist.
I'm not a freaking... You're the guy that... There it is. That's our flashback by request from Matthew, who wanted to hear the Bruce Lee delivering Chinese food bit. All of that stuff is available on the website. We're going to keep the show alive, man. I'm not going to do any more new shows. But we are going to keep this show alive. The material that we've done for 16 years will not is not going to disappear. There's no way. You know, I used to say, and I really believe it, I said, well, you know, our show is kind of episodic, like television. There's a lot of radio shows you don't want to hear again because it's very topical or it's not content heavy. But our show is the kind of show where people did want to hear bits again. We would notice that. So they want to hear bits again. We want to repurpose all of the shows, and we want to play those again. Somehow, some way. There's no way that this show is going away. But I will say this. There is no way I'm going to do any more new shows. As of the 23rd of June, 22 more shows. After 33 years in the radio business, 16 years doing this particular kind of show, it's done. Over and done. I'll tell you what. There's only one way that I would actually work for any radio company. If they let me use the F word, the S word, MF, all of that stuff. And then when the fine comes down, they'll actually go to Washington and sue the FCC. Not fire me, but sue the FCC. There, that's there. Right there. If you ever want Phil Henry working for you ever again, you douchebags, you're going to have to back me up because the first word out of my mouth is going to be F. As soon as, well, F it. How about it? Isn't it a beautiful morning? It's a MFing beautiful. I'm just going to lay it out there, and I expect to be backed up all the way to the Supreme Court. Now, if you think that's going to happen, well, I got news for you. I've got a thick, rich, healthy head of red hair. Not going to happen a million, but that's my demand right now. Otherwise, I ain't forget it. It's off into the world of TV land and movies for me, man. I'm done. But it's been one hell of a run. I've dug it. And the laughs, oh, my God, the laughs have been...
Few and far between.
Few and far between. I mean, there's been a lot of them. Been a lot of fun. Met a lot of interesting people. Made a lot of friends. Yes, in many ways, our show... Why'd you do that?
Because you give it to the audience without it dry, not even any grease.
I'll deal with you in a minute. Phil Henry Show. Coming back, some stuff, I forget.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, man, not these women. Not that tub of guts again, that little fat Natalie Maines and her sisters there and the Dixie Quacks. The Dixie Squacks. You know, people say... Oh, well, I mean, it's just a bunch of angry white men. You know what? I do consider myself to be a liberal. I think, like, cats that are against the war in Iraq, they're the conservatives. They're the ones that are, like, thinking old. But that's just me, okay? I'm not here to sell anything, man. I just want to say one thing and one thing only. The Dixie chicks should only die. They should only hang. However, I would like to see them all naked before they go. I mean, what is the story? It wouldn't be so bad if the people that were, like, opposed to President Bush had brains. But every one of these cats that opened their mouths, they're the stupidest human beings that God ever let allowed past the cradle. I swear to God, there's not a one of them with a freaking cogent argument about anything. Not one of them has anything more to say than what, like, Spike Lee said, like, 10 years ago, which is, I don't think we should tell people how to live and everything. Dumb? Oh, God, is it dumb. Stupid doesn't even begin to tell the words, to tell the tale. They got nothing to say. All they do is, like, call people names. It's like that squack Whoopi freaking Goldberg when she got up on the stage and compared Bush's name to, like, her crotch. Remember that? I mean, what is that about? She's up on the stage talking about the president of the United States, and she mentions the cat's last name, and she's talking about her her bush, which can only be, if you think about it, the most frightening thing on earth. Oh, my God. Think about that for just 5 seconds. Whoopi Goldberg's bush? Holy gee. I mean, where do you even be? What? How big is the can of Lysol that you need? And she's up on the stage going on about him, huh? So there you go. That's classic. And, oh, by the way, just to make it even better, the vice president of the United States was the future vice president or a contending with some guy. I think it was Gore. I mean, that's just nasty. And then here come the Dixie Idiots. Well, good for you. They're nice to look at. They sing great. I'd love to buy them all a couple of shots and beers. Yeah, sure. I'm just like any other red-blooded man. But when they open their yaps and start talking politics, I mean, I guess, okay. I look stupid. All right, I grant you I look stupid. I must look stupid. They figure I'm going to sell that stuff. Not one of these idiots. Not a one. And all of this crap that gets recycled, right? All the torture that supposedly took place at Abu Ghraib ain't been proved. All the torture that supposedly takes place at Guantanamo ain't been proved. Everybody says they're glad Saddam's gone, but they don't like the war. So which is it, huh? Come on. No, you got to come down on one side or the other, man. You can't tell me that you're glad Saddam's gone, but you don't dig the war. Sorry, don't work that way. Uh-uh. No. And if I had the Dixie Chicks and they were handcuffed in my living room and their clothes were removed and I had, let's say, a car aerial and I was wearing half of a leather mask, and let's say I had Natalie Maines and she was just, I had her good and spread eagle there, that fat little butt of hers there. And I just say, okay, Natalie, what you glad Saddam's gone? Well, Dad. Oh, you're lying to Daddy. Whap. Right there, man. Leave a good mark. Are you glad or are you not that Saddam's gone?
I'm glad he's gone, but
do you agree with the war?
No, I,
okay, here comes another one. Wham. Tenderize her fat rear end real good. Next, in comes Whoopi. Now, naturally, I've got to fumigate the room first. Tie her dumb, stupid ass down. Okay, now, are you glad Saddam's gone? Yes or no?
Well, now, when I was hosting the Academy...
Don't give me that stale Academy Award. You go into any of those Academy Award jokes, and Daddy's going to spank. Okay, kick her out. The other two Dixie Chicks, same thing. Whap, whap, they're all gone. You can't tell me, man. I get so sick and tired. Now who's the latest guy to sound off? Some guy that's the director of some rotten movie out of Mexico. He won himself an award at Cannes, and he said America is, like, really rotten. Let's see, what are we rotten for this week? Oh, yeah, because the war on terror's got everybody upset. See, if we had been better prepared for 9/11, then it wouldn't have happened. But now that we're trying to be prepared, now we're getting everybody upset and paranoid. And either we're glad that Saddam's gone, but we don't like the war, but we do like the war, but we're not glad he's gone. These cats, man, it's easier to be for the war, man. I know exactly what I'm saying. I know exactly how I feel. I know exactly how I think. If I got to sit and listen to Dixie freaking Maines, or what's her name, Natalie?
Natalie Maines, you idiot. Dixie Chick is the name of the band.
How dare you call me a... Natalie May, I got to sit and listen to her reasons for living, just living. I'm going to pull what's left of my freaking nose hairs out. It's just, you know, so in the few days that I've got left before I die, because on June 23rd, I'm not only going to do my last show, I'm leaping off of the freaking bridge down here at Terminal Island. I'm going in, man. I'm going where no man has gone before, the women's colony at Terminal Island. I'm going where no man has gone before. Whoopi Goldberg's. You got it. What else do we got to do? Because I can't stand it in here any longer.
Got email read and then everything.
Yeah, thank you for that very clear summation. All right, it's the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with some email.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Here's a news item. Passengers restrained man on airline flight. An elderly man on an American Airlines flight was restrained by passengers, including television's Dr. 90210, after he got out of his seat and shoved a flight attendant late Monday, according to officials. The jetliner landed safely in L.A., and police took the 80-year-old man who did not speak English to a hospital for a 72-hour mental observation, according to a airport spokesperson. Now, he evidently started to panic about 15 minutes before landing when everyone's supposed to be buckled into their seats. None of the five crew members or passengers were injured. The man hopped out of his seat in coach and marched into first class. Well, right there, that's going to get you. Yeah, that's going to get your ass kicked. You jump out of your coach seat and go into first class? No wonder Dr. 90210 kicked his ass. Dr. Robert Ray, a plastic surgeon who practices martial arts, told Associated Press he got out of his seat and intervened when he heard the man make a big noise as he pushed a female flight attendant toward the cockpit. When you get a black belt at that stage, your brain just clicks into action, the doctor said. Oh, please. Please. Hey, doc. You're black belt and an 80-year-old man, huh? Well, I want to see you go to work, man. I bet you you're hell on 80-year-old guy. I got nothing against guys with black belts, please. Don't misunderstand. I understand. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to exercise and take the baby fat off. But I'm telling you, your black belt against any street smart street fighter, any guy that's been out using his hands and his fists on the street, or take your black belt inside. How about that? Why don't you go out on the yard, man, and start kicking ass on like 900 freaking meth addicts? Bunch of guys that are in there for, like, carving up and eating their grandmothers. Big, big guys that have, like, every kind of knife wound, stab wound, bullet shots, missing an eye, missing teeth. They've eaten whole human beings. They've robbed banks, liquor stores, fast food, convenience stores, have gone home, had breakfast, belched, and went back out for more. They've taken a chain across the face, a chain across the back, a chain twixt the legs. When you get, this guy actually said it, when you get a black belt at that stage, your brain clicks into action, said Dr. Robert Ray, Dr. 90210, as he kicked ass on an 80-year-old guy. Ha, ha, ha! Ho, ho, please, man! I bet you I could give you a run for your money, and I'm some fat old 53-year-old guy, Doc. You and your freaking black belt. Anyway, another passenger helped as the man kicked and screamed, Ray said. The doctor said he also checked the man's vital signs and determined he was not having a medical emergency. Yep, I really kicked his ass. By the way, I hope you watch my show this Wednesday night. Flight members described the man as very frail. He'd been scheduled to board a connecting flight in Singapore after landing in Los Angeles. Ray, who stars on the E! Network television show Dr. 90210 about a Beverly Hills plastic surgeon, was returning home after taping a segment for The Insider. He also appears as himself on a Carl's Jr. commercial in which he takes the corpse of Dave Thomas and beats the living crap out of it before eating it. Well, how about that? Isn't that horrible? Ray, appearing as himself in the Carl's Jr. commercial, then proceeds to beat hell out of Carl Karcher and destroy an entire restaurant before being restrained, put into a jacket, and put into a rubber room. Dr. Robert Ray, who took karate so he could look like a badass, is actually not very good at it. He got his black belt from an American instructor who really has no credentials to be giving out black belts. As you know, said the instructor, who spoke on a condition of anonymity, anybody can give a black belt in martial arts. There is no real licensing in America. So Dr. Robert Ray went to some dojang in the middle of a strip mall someplace, took it for about 3 weeks, put a gun to the head of the guy and said, "Give me a black belt or I'll carve your face up and I won't put it back together again." And the guy did. Ray now parades around Beverly Hills with his black belt as people laugh at him as he passes. I'm sorry, I'm just having some fun here, folks. That's just my theory about karate, martial arts. There's some people that are very good, very good, very proficient. Now, the only place you're going to see, think about it. Tournament fighting is where you see martial arts experts, martial artists, display their ability in tournaments. When you go to a karate tournament, go to a taekwondo tournament, or what have you. right? And you see that. Now, very, very few, if any of us, have ever seen a fist fight, an actual bar fight or street fight that employed legitimate and just by the book karate or martial arts. What you're looking at, if you're looking at a street fight, is you're looking, well, I mean, if you're close enough, you're seeing all kinds of things going on. You're looking at the Ultimate Fighting Championship where there ain't nobody going to step in, there ain't no cage, and they can use shards of glass. Just imagine Ultimate Fighting where the guy can use a board with nails sticking out of it. Now you got a better idea of what Dr. Robert Ray'd be up against if he was actually in a fight, instead of kicking ass on an 80-year-old guy who, for all we know, probably just wanted to go use the can. You know, the whole rule about you can't use the can in first class? When you gotta go, you gotta go. And the old guy says, I just want to use the... Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Ray. I'm Dr. 90210, you piece of garbage. I just want to take a dump, for God's sake. Why, you dirty... He beat ass on an old guy, and all he wanted to do was go up and pinch one off before the freaking plane landed. Thanks a lot, Doc. You dirty old... And what do you mean you're a plastic surgeon? You better use it for good, man. You better, like, help people who've got burns. Help people who've got some severe damage to their face. You do one more nose job, man, and you're going to need one. I'm just going to have to bust out my purple belt. What do you think of that? Yeah, that's right. I got a purple belt in taekwondo. Your black belt, my purple belt. Hey, what do you think, huh? Hey, huh? Yeah, woo-hoo-hoo. I get to bring a gun. All right? I call that even, man.
Gotta take a break.
All right, we'll take a break. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Time to look at some email. Hi, Phil. I'm a citizen of Ballstone, New York. It's about 25 miles north of Albany. I'm a corrections officer at the county jail. I often arrive to work about an hour early just to listen to your show in the car. I find your show to be very intriguing, especially the broadcast with Steve Bossel. I wished I could have called in because the guy was a complete moron. I was appalled by the fact that this idiot is suing his wife basically because she's fat. My wife and I have three children, and she's put on about 25 pounds since the second was born. I would never, ever imagine suing her because of the way she looks. I'm happy you put morons on like this because it puts in perspective just how stupid and arrogant some people are in the world. Keep up the good work. I wish you the best in your acting career. If it's anything like your radio show, it should be a big success. Keep up the work. Ian Warren. What the hell, man? Hey, Phil, Brit Radio, one breakfast DJ Chris Moyles tried to do a big fat black guy accent while interviewing Halle Berry about her latest X-Men flick and pissed her off. Moyles said, I'm a black American guy, a big fat black guy. Put your hands in the air. Halle asked, are we having a racist moment? Looks like Moyles doesn't quite get your show. I doubt, being the consummate radio pro that you are, that you would do that kind of shtick while conducting an interview with Halle Berry. Yes, I would. Yes, I would. Sorry, you're all wrong, sir. But I would use the N-word. In other words, I'd liven it up. Being an American, I know those things. I could never picture you doing a serious one-on-one interview. That's the thing. I would never interview Halle Berry. Not on my radio show. I'd interview her. I would pre-interview her to see if she was worthy of coming on my show. Anyway, check it out. Looks like this guy is trying to be the next Phil Hendry. Now, this guy, Chris Moyles, I know who that guy is. He's been around a long time, and he does... Yeah, what am I going to say? You know, what can I say? People say, oh, you know, Ali G. You know what? Ali G can kiss my white American ass. Ali G goes out and does a candid camera shtick. He runs through about 9 million different possibilities until they finally get one they can use. You understand that when you're doing one TV show a week? There's nobody that does my show. Nobody can do my show. And it just so happens I have the great misfortune of doing it on radio where, you know, I'm not getting the proper adulation that I deserve. I'm surrounded by ants. In the words of Sidney Poitier in Raisin in the Sun, I'm a volcano and I'm surrounded by ants.
Good night, Prometheus.
Who's Prometheus?
Good night.
Who's Prometheus?
Good night, Prometheus.
I want you to tell me who Prometheus is.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.